today, I'm going to talk to an old Republican friend, Haley Barbour. And Haley was governor of Mississippi. He was chairman of the Republican National Committee. And he was political director for the Reagan administration. That's where we had a lot of contact. He has been head of the BGR group. You know, we've got a lot going on in this presidential race, and Haley and I are going to talk about that along with some other things. But Haley, welcome to my podcast. Okay, Haley Barbour, how far back do we go?
Reagan White House, I believe is the first time I ever met you, when I was the political director of the White House of President Reagan in 1985. And Liz, your daughter was there or worked there.
Oh, and she ran the place.
Yeah. And you were over for something, and she introduced me to you. And
Well, you were there, okay, 85. And I remember I did a deal, and I was chairman of it in Houston. And it had to be the second term. So that would be 84.
85 yeah. Through 80, January 89.
Yeah. And I was the chairman of that dinner. And I got then really involved in the Reagan deal. Yeah. What a guy to get involved with. I mean, yeah. Now, did he call on me for nothing? I'm not trying to. You know better than that. But, I mean, involved meaning I was a real disciple.
Yeah,
and you were too. I mean, we were all.
Well, it's heady stuff for a board from Yazoo City, Mississippi, to get to work in the White House. But when you get to work there for Ronald Reagan, it really is something.
Yeah, because he's the best, of course, in my lifetime.
And well, just as the results are what's so spectacular. Just look at, we had a 25-year-long, virtually uninterrupted economic growth spate, and not just in the United States, all over the world.
But also, you had decisions that were real. I mean, the man, he understood, made good decisions, had good help. Yeah, I never got a chance to serve in the White House, but I was too old for that anyway. So,
well, Boone, one of the great things about Reagan is people forget he had a divided Congress every day he was there. He had a Democrat majority in the House and a large Democrat majority in the House, but he still knew how to get things done.
Well, he worked with O'Neill, Tip O'Neill, didn't he?
He did, and others, Danny Rostin Kowski helped with the 86 tax bill, Bill Bradley in the Senate, Democrat. But Reagan knew how to get things done, and he was, he used to say, remember, a fellow that agrees with you 80% of the time is your friend and ally, he's not some 20% traitor. And Reagan knew, we're not always going to agree on everything.
He had an unusual ability, man, and you didn't see that, I don't think. If you go back and look, his history had been good guy, hail fellow, well met and all, and then governor of California, and then go into the role, and that I don't think you knew before he got there what he was.
I think the fact that he had been an actor made people underestimate him.
I do too.
Even though he'd been the president of the Screen Actors Guild, a union president.
Yeah.
He knew how to negotiate, I'll tell you that.
Well, he's always popular too. People liked him. Yeah. Even when they didn't agree with him. They still thought he was a...
He used to say, you know, there are all sorts of people that disagree with me on this issue or that issue, still vote for me. And the reason was they trusted him. They knew he'd tell them the truth. And he knew he'd do what he said or try to.
Well, great guy, but we can do that. We can go the whole interview and just not get off him. I mean, he's easy to talk about.
Well, and particularly compared to today.
I know. Pretty sad. Pretty sad deal today. Okay, what's going to happen to us?
Well, of course, Trump's going to be the Republican nominee, and barring something like an indictment or a referral by the FBI, Ms. Clinton will be the Democrat nominee. She's got the votes, and they will be, by polling, the two most negatively perceived nominees of the major parties in the history of polling.
Okay, hold up right there, though. Now, we've gone through this primary period, and this guy, Trump, he's drawing crowds.
Oh, enormous. And Sanders draws enormous crowds.
Okay, just a second.
Trump's going to get more votes in the Republican nominating process than any other Republican in history.
So, but he's polling negatively in the general election against her.
That's right. And remember, one thing we forget about, it is very positive that Trump is going to get 12 million or more votes in the nominating contest, the most ever. But you forget, some people do, that it takes about 65 million votes to win. And so getting 12 is historic, but you still got to get another 53 or so the general election.
Haley, you know, he draws so well. And why is he going to just be very popular and having these big crowds and everything else, and all at once, that's all the people are going to vote for him?
Well, no, I don't think that's all the people are going to vote for him. I think the point is it takes about 65 million votes to win.
Okay.
Last time we were about 131 million votes cast. So he's got to get about 65 million votes. And the point is, it is very positive he gets these big turnouts and big crowds in the primary. But there are a whole lot of Republicans who don't go to the trouble of voting in the primary, plus the independents and Democrats you have to get. And Donald Trump may be able to do that. And anybody that underestimates, he's been asleep for the last 9 months.
That's right. They all.
And anybody that tells you they saw this coming will lie to you about other things. Because, you know, the political experts just didn't see this coming. I sure didn't.
Well, it kept the guy say something that I thought was really stupid, and his polls would go up. And I said, there's something strange about this whole thing. I think that he'll beat her.
He may very well. She is, like I say, the second most negatively perceived candidate in the history of polling for President of the United States. So her numbers are terrible. Uh-huh. And she is not a good candidate. She does not have good candidate skills. So, and plus, it's very hard for a party to keep the White House for a third term. You know, only once since Roosevelt. That's right,
Bush.
Reagan Bush. It's the only time that's happened in whatever that is, 70-something years. So it's hard to start with.
She's up there saying this is going to be a continuation of the Obama. And I think, X that, lady. You don't want to say that.
You know, Boone, in polling, two-thirds of Americans think the country's going in the wrong direction. And it's been more than 60% consistently for more than 3 years. So Americans don't want a third term of Obama because they don't like what they got now.
They don't want it.
You know, and you can't blame them, because if you're in the heartland on Main Street, working class, middle class, small business, there hadn't been a recovery.
Okay. Your colleague, my daughter, Liz, she was with me yesterday, and she said, you know, I couldn't believe that Trump could win. And I said, okay, now you think? She said, yeah, I think he'll win. And she said, something happened the other day. Said, I saw a guy get in a car that she said it should have been in the junkyard. And it had a Trump on the bumper. And she said, I looked at the guy and said, she said, you know, if he's for Trump, Trump can win. And it's funny, and you know, I think Lizzie's politically moxie.
She
hung around you guys, yeah. and she worked in the Reagan White House and all that. She's usually got a pretty good feel, and she got a woman feel, and she asks people questions and all, and she kind of knows what's going on. But I think the guy be a landslide.
Well, I hope you're right, because, you know, wasn't my first choice. But if the choice between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, I'm for Donald Trump.
Yeah, well,
10
tell
times
me,
out of 10.
Tell me, and before I did my notes and everything on this interview, Jay Rosser said, don't put him on the spot on the Bushes. He said he shouldn't, don't make him, you know, that. And I said, I'm not putting him on the spot, but I gave him money, Jeb Bush, and to his uncle and to his dad. So I can comment, can't I? I mean, it isn't like I'm a Democrat talking about a Republican, but I can't believe that he signed that pledge and now says he's not going to support Trump. What, tell me about that.
Well, it's a long time from now to November. You know, okay. Boone, we met at the Reagan White House. I had been for Reagan in the 76th convention.
I was too.
I remember when it was over, Ford was behind 33 points in the polling to Jimmy Carter. He made up 31. And almost all of those were people who had said, I'm not going to vote for Ford, but they came back. And I hope people are going to come back. Trump needs them too, because he needs to get more than 90% of the Republicans, as well as independents and Democrats in large numbers to win. But he needs to get 90% of the Republicans.
Well, I'm in agreement with you. I mean, they have to come back. I mean, we're nuts. It just doesn't make sense.
If you can't beat Hillary. Well, if you believe in a market economy, if you're a capitalist, if you believe in the rule of law and you look at this Obama administration, you don't want a third term for this. And everybody knows Hillary Clinton will be a third term for Obama on steroids.
Yeah.
I mean, and she talks in this campaign like she's to the left of Bernie Sanders.
Oh, yeah. And it, but to me, what's starting to look like that Trump is unusual to the Republican Party. You'd agree. See, I knew Trump, I've known him 30 years. How well? You know, not well. Never did a business deal with him or anything else. But Ace Greenberg was a close friend of mine. You remember him, Bear Stearns. But Ace is from Oklahoma City.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, and I'm from Holdenville, 75 miles away. Ace always told me, he said, if you'd have moved to Oklahoma City, I could have taught you some things that would have helped you before you got in trouble a few times. But Ace and I were the same age. He is 6 months older than I was. He died last year, and we were close friends. But where I knew Trump was Ace. Ace was his friend. Okay, so it'd be five or six couples for dinner at Ace's house. Ace and Kathy would have us there. And I'd look around, and a conversation would start, and I thought I was the token Republican. They had me there kind of, you know, to laugh at. Because Ace, he was a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. But we would be at dinner there, and Leslie Stahl and her husband would be there. And those guys, they're all Democrats.
Sure
they're liberals.
Sure
and proud of it. And and all, and but they kind of hammer me every once in a while. But I never saw any support from Donald at dinner. I didn't ever remember him getting engaged very much in political talk.
You know, yeah. I've only met him twice in my life, and certainly didn't foresee his running for president. And candidly, I thought when it started that he would be a flash in the pan. People are mad. And they got good reason to be mad. People are scared. Working class people are scared about this economy, and they hadn't seen anything that they looked like a recovery to them. And so they got good reason to be mad, good reason to be scared. And I thought at first that this Trump phenomenon was just people venting. You know, they'd get it out of their system. But
I thought he was a sprinter in a long distance race, is what I thought he was.
That's a very good way to put it.
Yeah, and everything's going to pass him.
But he has had staying power like
nobody
foresaw, and he's overcome obstacles. And you mentioned earlier, he said things that when he said them, you rolled your eyes and said, oh, Lord, well, that's it.
Well, the first one was on Senator McCain.
Yeah.
I said, oh, well, that's the end of him. I mean,
but people are so mad, they would rather have somebody come up here that they think can tear the house down and start over.
Yeah.
Than somebody who's got experience or somebody that's got this, that, or the other.
Yeah, but what it came down to me, and old Carl Icahn and I talk about politics, and somebody said, why wouldn't you? Neither one of you know anything about it. So anyway, well, Carl and I talk about it, and he said, you know, if any one of the others is in, there'll be no change. Washington will go along just about like it has. They can't change it, because they're part of it, but said the only chance we got for change is Donald Trump. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, that may be a true statement.
Yeah, I don't think that's accurate, but that doesn't make a difference what I think. Millions, tens of millions of voters think that's accurate.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I want to go back over your history, because you got an interesting history. I know you're a rich guy from down, where is it, Delta?
I'm from the Mississippi Delta. My daddy died when I was 2 years old. My mama never remarried, raised my two older brothers and me. I went to college on borrowed money and a baseball scholarship. And so I've had
I remember you were a left-handed pitcher.
I was a right-handed catcher. but I dropped out of college in 1968.
You didn't finish?
Well, I went back.
You're a lawyer.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a recovering lawyer now. I used to be a lawyer. But I dropped out of college and ran 30 counties for Nixon in 1968. First time I ever saw a poll, Boone, 6% of Mississippians considered themselves Republicans.
Oh.
Six.
All right, I want to interject something. You know, I was born in Oklahoma.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and 1928, every county, 77 counties, all went Democrat. Last election, all 77 counties went Republican. My aunt was my school teacher, and she said, "Children, we're going to talk about politics today. There's Democrats and Republicans." I was in the fifth grade, and she said, "I'm the only registered Republican in this county." And I thought, that's unusual. My aunt is all by herself. Nobody's on her side. And she added, not because Republicans are good, they're just not as bad as the other people. And, you know, by golly, that's the way politics kind of played out for me.
Well, I can imagine in Oklahoma, and y'all have party registration, and I can remember in the days when there were 10% of the people were registered Republicans. That your school teacher in your county may have been the only one, but there were not very many in any other county either.
No, they weren't. And they didn't have primaries, Republican primaries. If anybody ran, they were uncontested.
Yeah. And that's pretty way it was when I grew up in Mississippi.
Yeah, but incumbents were always running, and they didn't run against incumbents, I don't think. But, you know, you go back, you headed the RNC when?
I was chairman of the RNC from January of 93 to January of 97. So the first term of Clinton, when we won control of Congress for the first time in 40 years, we won the House and the Senate in 94. Went from 19 governors to 31.
You won that in there. You were chairman.
Well, I was chairman. A whole lot of people deserve credit. But we did go from 19 governors to 31. And really, it was
But you know who you got to thank for that?
Bill Clinton.
Sure.
And Hillary was doing her part, too.
Well, you look, Obama came in, he had the House and Senate. Lost it all. It's his fault. How in the hell we lost to him in 12? It's just unbelievable to me.
Well, I think there are a lot of people who look at that race and think we should have won, and that the decision to allow Obama to define Romney. Actually, I don't know who made that decision, but that's what happened. The case wasn't ever made that Obama deserved re-election. It was all about what's wrong with Mitt Romney. Rich white guy who don't care about people like you.
Haley, at that point, we had seen 4 years of Obama. If he was allowed to do anything that anybody paid any attention to after 4 years of him, I can't even imagine. But he did.
He did. That's right.
Okay, I blame you because you're the only RNC chairman that I remember right now. I told you.
Well, but, even though I'd been out 18 years.
Oh, I know.
I'll take the blame.
But, I thought Romney could not lose.
Well, like I say, the Democrats decided they couldn't elect Obama on a positive record because there wasn't one. So they just made it all about Romney. And I'll tell you, the biggest single piece of polling in that race, in the exit polling, they ask a question, as they always do, regardless of for whom you voted, which one of the two candidates do you think cares more about people like you? 81, Obama. 18, Romney. Now, you know what that means mathematically? 62% a minimum of 62% of the people that voted for Romney said they thought Obama cared more about people like them. That's how bad they smeared Romney during the campaign.
Well, Romney, if you want to criticize it, he was kind of stiff, and people didn't see him as a guy. And I think he's a good guy.
And he is generous. Good.
Okay.
He's a generous
guy.
But
I had a grandson. I said, "Did you vote for Obama?" He said, "Yeah, I did." And I said, "Tell me why." And he said, "Well, Papa," he said, "I thought he would do more for me than Romney." I said, "Do more for you? What do you want done for you? I paid for your education and everything else." I said, "What else do you want done for you? And why do you think the President of the United States is going to do it?" He didn't vote for him a second time.
Okay. Well, you know, the truth is a lot of what we hear from Obama is don't pay your student loan, the government will pay for it. Don't pay your mortgage, the government will pay for it. Don't pay you this, don't pay you that. And that's how you get to go from a little over $10 trillion deficit when he came into office
sure.
to now under Obama, we're almost to 20. We're 19.
We're probably going to be at 20 before we finish this conversation.
We're sure going to be above 24 when we finish Obama's term.
Yeah.
You know, in this next 7 months or 8 months, however long it is.
Well, Haley, it's
scary.
We ought to do this more often. You know, you're in Dallas a lot, somebody told me.
Sometimes, yes, sir.
You never call me.
Well, I don't think I'm supposed to call you and say, "Hey, Boone, don't you want to take me to lunch?"
But we eat in every day. I'd like for you to come in there and see my office.
Love to. I haven't been to your office in years.
No.
I've been to your office previously, but I don't know if it's the same one.
It's not. Okay. I've been in this office since 96, and you haven't been there since then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably right.
All right. Haley, thanks.
Hey, friend.
Thanks.
Great to see you.